Hey, New Life Church, so good to see you joining us in the Life of Christ study. I know for me personally and for our family, it has been so rich and just so good as we've continued to study Jesus and his teaching, his parables, and I'm excited to be able to jump into the Word with you today. Matthew chapter 20 is where we're going to be, and Jesus is speaking about this parable that we're going to get into. But before we do that, I have a question for you. Have you ever done anything out of an expectation of getting something in return? For instance, like at your job, have you ever taken on more work, okay, in order for you to get that promotion, that reward? How about around the house for your spouse? You take on the dishes or you clean the house for your spouse, hoping that in return you get this reward. You might be thinking, where are you going with that, Chad? I'm talking about dinner, y'all. Come on, stay with me. But have you ever done it for the sake of a reward, doing something, as opposed to just this love and this appreciation? I can actually see this showing up sometimes in my own spiritual life, where I'll do things out of this want or this desire of a reward. Maybe it's just to make Jesus proud of me. Can I just pause for just a second? He's already proud of you. He's already proud of me. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And so instead of having this heart of trying to get a reward that we're going to discover as we look into this passage of scripture, let's look at what Jesus is asking for us to do. It's to have that repentance. It's to have that obedience. It's to have that heart to go after him first and foremost. And then everything seems to fall in line. I remember playing baseball as a freshman, wanting to make the varsity team, actually the starting position at shortstop. And I remember working so hard. My coach is there. Everyone else is leaving. I'm spending extra time there. I'm doing an extra workout for this reward of getting notice, to the point to where I actually even just lost the zeal and the passion and the love for the game of baseball. I wonder how many times that happens in our relationship and our walk with the Lord. So let's look at Matthew 20 and let's see what the Lord wants to teach us as we read this passage of scripture. It says this: God's kingdom is like an estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. They agreed on a wage of $1 a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some other men hanging around the town square, unemployed. He told them, go to the work in his vineyard, and he would pay them a fair wage. They went. He did the same thing at noon and again at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, he went back and found still others standing around. And he said, why are you standing around all day doing nothing? They said, because no one hired us. He told them to go to work in his vineyard. When the day's work was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman, call the workers in and pay them their wages. Start with the last hired and go on to the first. Those hired at 5 o'clock came up and were given $1. When those that were hired first saw that, they assumed that they would get far more, but they got the same amount, each of them $1. Taking the dollar, they growled angrily to the manager, these last workers put in only one easy hour, and you just made them equal to us who slaved all day under a scorching sun. He replied to the one speaking for the rest, friend, I haven't been unfair. We agreed on the wage of $1, didn't we? And so take it and go. I decided to give to the one who came last the same as you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to get stingy because I'm generous? Here it is again, the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last, and the last first. It's interesting, this worker, in reference to the way that he put this emphasis on his wage or the reward, that it actually caused him to lose relationship with the person who even hired him to give him a job and to give him a position and a place. How many times did that happen for us? When maybe we see maybe this lack of reward. And so instead of trusting and just simply loving God and being obedient there and just thanking him, so many times we want to put this emphasis on, God, what can I get out of the deal? Listen to me, because of Jesus, here's what we get out of the deal. First and foremost, salvation, hope, restoration, healing, because of what he did for us on the cross. And then 3 days later, resurrecting. What an amazing gift. But if we look outside of that gift and we focus on the things that are happening around us, we'll lose sight of that relationship to where maybe it disconnects us. And the Lord is wanting us to draw close to him. The Lord is wanting us to be around him, to obey him, to trust him. Let's not forget who he is, the creator of the universe, the God who loves us, who sent his son Jesus for us. There was a moment that I had with Kyle, my 10-year-old. He was 7 at the time. And he was asking, "Hey, Dad, can I use the keys to the car? Can I drive the car?" How many of you know that that would not have been a good move? And as a dad in that place, I told him, "No, son, you can't do it." Here's what I'm thankful for. He had a choice in that moment. Was he going to continue to trust me and love me? Or did he want the reward of being able to drive the car, knowing as a father that could potentially hurt him, and not just hurt him, but the other people that might be around him? Here's what I find interesting. It was in that place that he knew the love of the Father. He trusted me in my response of saying, "No, not yet. You're not ready for that." To where ultimately I have this heart of loving him and wanting what's best for him. Guess what? God has this same love for you and wanting what's best for you. So let's not necessarily always focus in on the reward or what we can get out of it. Let's just fall in love with Jesus, understand who he is, and go after him like crazy, trusting him, walking in obedience to him, submitting to him and to his way, because at the end of the day, he wants what's best for you and he wants what's best for me, and he can be trusted in that place, church. I love you a lot, and God bless.
Okay, I love this vision, the life of Christ. I'll never forget, I took the life of Christ in Bible college, and it changed everything that I thought about. It's like the Jesus style of the word. We all need it, and I thank you for joining us. Please do not forget to subscribe so you can really partner with us as we move through this over the next several weeks together as a church. We're growing. Let's keep it going. Don't forget to subscribe.